We invite our attention to the Epistle of James today, James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. In James chapter 2, we're looking at the testings of our faith. The heading of my Bible says that this is the test of brotherly love, but as we read the first three verses, we see it is the subject of not having respect of persons, that is, not having partiality one toward another. And truly that is the test of brotherly love. Let's remember the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. And so here in James chapter 2, let's read the first five verses and then have prayer. James 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly, or unto your congregation, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and then there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, or bad clothing, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor man, stand thou here, or sit here under my footstool. Are you not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him? Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we come this morning, we know that the ground is level at the foot of the cross, that there is neither rich nor poor, there is neither black or white, red, yellow, orange, with that we are all one, and that we are all level at the foot of the cross. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that you may bless us as a test of our faith, that we show love one toward another without partiality or without respect of persons one toward another. For you, O God, you do not show partiality nor respect of persons toward anyone, but we are equal in your eyes and in your sight. And your children are loved by you, Lord, equally, just as Jesus died for each and every one. So, Father, now bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as you begin the study here, we see that the writer James, who was the bishop of the church in Jerusalem, pastor of the church in Jerusalem, writing to God's children, both Jew and Gentile, he says, my brethren, of course he's writing to God's children, to you and me today, don't have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. That is, that we are not to judge one another, you know, by outward appearance. We cannot tell what's on the inside by simply looking at what we see on the outside of people. What we may see on the outside may appeal to us or may not appeal to us, but yet many times, for example, we might say, ooh, that person sure is ugly. But then on the inside, they are beautiful and they show forth the radiance of Jesus Christ in their heart. So who are we to judge the outward appearance of others? Let us remember that God Himself said that He does not look at the outward appearance, but He looks on our heart. He looks at what's in our heart and the motives and the intentions of our heart. Now, even God, when He gave Moses the law in the book of Leviticus, He said this in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 15. It's Leviticus 19:15. He said, "You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor." So in other words, He said to Moses in Leviticus 19:15, don't show partiality, whether it be to the poor or to the rich or to the famous, to those in power or those in lowly estate. And so He says in our text, "My brothers and sisters, let's not have the faith of Christ with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel," who's obviously wealthy, "and then there also come in a poor man in tattered clothing, and you have respect to the one who has the nice clothes, and say, 'Sit here in a place of honor,' and then say to the poor man, 'Sit under my footstool,' are you not partial in yourselves, and are you not become judges of evil thoughts?" Judges of evil thoughts. Yes, we have, haven't we? We cannot tell the character of a person by their outward appearances. Again, God looks on the heart and not on the outward appearance. The wise man Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 20, excuse me, Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 23. "These things also belong unto the wise, for it is not good to have respect of persons in judgment." And that means partiality. It's not good to have partiality. Paul says in Ephesians 9, when he's talking about masters and servants, he said to masters this, "Do the same things to them, your servants, withholding threatening from your servants, knowing that you yourselves have one heavenly master, one heavenly Father in heaven, and neither is there respect of persons with God." There is no partiality with God. That's what he's saying. And Paul said again in Colossians 3:25, "But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong that he's done, and there is no respect of persons." So that verse there teaches it doesn't matter our station in life. If we have committed sin and evil or committed crimes, there should be no partiality in judgment there. And God does not show partiality in disciplining His children, whether we be poor or whether we be rich in material goods. But what does He say in verse number 5? He says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world, who are rich in faith, and who are the heirs of God's kingdom, that God has promised to those that love Him?" Now, all of us as God's children, born of the Spirit, we have the grand privilege, each and every one of us, of entering into a spiritual presence with Jesus every day in the kingdom of heaven here in this life, regardless of whether we are poor or whether we are rich. Not having respect to persons. I want to look at the example that our Lord gave to the Apostle Peter about not having partiality in the book of Acts chapter 10. In the book of Acts chapter 10, here we find God is about to give the gospel of the kingdom of Christ to the Gentiles and to the Gentile nations. Now, you might remember in Matthew chapter 10 that Jesus first told the apostles, go not to the way of the Gentiles, but rather go preaching to the household of Israel, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But now, God is going to show Peter that he has a people among the Gentiles as well as the Jews. So in Acts chapter 10, there is a devout Gentile by the name of Cornelius, who is a Roman soldier, a Roman centurion, tells us in Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea whose name was Cornelius, and he was a Roman centurion. It says in verse 2 that he was a devout man. He was one who feared God with all of his household, and he gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He was a child of God, but he was a Gentile, and he was a Roman centurion of the Roman army. And he saw a vision of God telling him to send men to Joppa and call for one named Simon, whose surname is Peter. And so he did. He sends men to Joppa to find Peter. And God was working on Peter's end as well. It says in Acts 10 verse 9, and on the next day, as they went on their journey, the men from the household of Cornelius went on their journey to find Peter and drew nigh to Joppa, that Peter also himself, he went up on his housetop to pray about the sixth hour of the day, or 12 o'clock noon, lunchtime, and he became very hungry. It was time for lunch. He would have eaten, he would have prepared lunch after he prayed. But while he began to make ready for lunch, Peter fell into a trance, and he saw heaven open. Very similar to the visions of the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. And Peter saw in a vision a certain vessel descending upon him like as it were a great sheet knit at four corners let down to the earth. And in that great sheet there was all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. And the angel said to Peter, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean. These were unclean beasts. If you look in Leviticus chapter 11, God gave through Moses to Israel dietary laws that they were not to eat or partake of unclean beast. But now the Lord says to Peter, or the angel of God says to Peter, what God has cleansed, that call not common or unclean. And this was done three times, and then the sheet was received up into heaven once again. So after Cornelius, and after Peter comes to the household of Cornelius, and they worship the Lord there, Peter says in verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth, Acts 10:34. He said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God does not show partiality. But in every nation, he who fears him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, black or white, that we are all equal in the eyes of God. Paul says this about that in Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And verse 28, for there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. So it doesn't matter the color of our skin. It doesn't matter male or female, rich or poor, bond or free. We are all one in Jesus Christ. So have not the faith of Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons or with partiality. And so, look in our text again in James chapter 2. Verse 5, he says, hearken, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world, who are rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, which is promised to those that love him? Now, he might be there primarily referring to those that are poor in material goods, but yet, what did Jesus say in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3? He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, we can be rich in material goods, but we need to be poor in spirit. And those that are poor materially are rich in Christ. Paul talks about the riches of God's grace in the book of Ephesians. And what we have in Christ, we have riches untold. We have more riches in Jesus Christ than the richest man in the world today. Now, I want to go on in James chapter 2. He says in verses 6 and 7, but you have despised the poor, thought little of the poor. And then he says, don't other rich men persecute you? Don't those in high positions persecute you? They do. So don't they blaspheme you? And don't others blaspheme the worthy name of Jesus, by whose name you're called? He says, don't forget, you also have been persecuted by the Romans, by the Gentiles, and by your own countrymen. And so do not show partiality towards others. But here is what we are to do. James 2:8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture. Now, what is the royal law? It is the law of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because Jesus is royalty. If you fulfill the royal law that says, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. Love your neighbor as yourself. Leviticus 19, verse 18. That's where God gave to Moses this command, thou shalt not avenge others, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself, for I am the Lord. So that law of love, love your neighbor as yourself, really boils down to respect others because you want to be respected as well. Don't show respect of persons nor partiality. Love others as you love yourself. But if you have, verse 9 says, if you have respect to persons, you're committing sin, and you are convinced of the law as a transgressor of the law. Now, the royal law is also the law of liberty that we talked about a couple of Sundays ago there in James chapter 1 and verse 25. Remember when the test of obedience was given there? And he said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. For he that is a hearer and not a doer is likened unto a man that beholds his face in a glass or in a mirror and goes his own way. James 1:24. And immediately forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever will look into the perfect law of liberty. And it is the law of Jesus Christ. And what is the law of Christ? It is the law of love. It is the law of love. Not just to love others as we love ourselves, but even more than that, to love one another just like Jesus has loved us. And continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but rather a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So the law, the royal law, the kingly law of Christ is the law of liberty. And it is the law of love. The law of love. He says in verse 10, whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet shall offend in one point, he's guilty of breaking the whole law. In other words, now things that beset me, sins that beset me, may not be the same sin that besets you. But whatever, if I break one commandment, then I'm guilty of breaking all of it. Paul quotes the law of Moses from Deuteronomy in Galatians 3:10-12. Listen to what he says in Galatians 3:10-12. As many as are under the works of the law, as they were in the Old Testament, or even if we try to put ourselves under law works today, we're under the curse of the law. Because God wrote to Moses in Deuteronomy 27:26, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things written in the book of the law to do them, or to keep them. So if we break one, we've broken all. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, but the justified man, the just, shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And so we find our lesson today is this, that we are to show no partiality one toward another. And he says this finally in verse 12 and 13 of James 2. So speak and so do, as they who also shall be judged by the law of liberty. Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If we want others to show mercy to us, we should be merciful toward others. And Jesus said, forgive one another as I have forgiven you. Blessed are the merciful, for you shall obtain mercy. So remember this, God has chosen. He's not chosen the poor, but those who are rich in faith. Rich in faith. God does not show partiality. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I want to close with this. 1 Corinthians 1:26. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men, not many noble men are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things that are despised by the world has God chosen, yea, and things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. And why did he do it that way? That no flesh should glory in his presence. We have nothing of which to boast of in our own sinful flesh. But of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, you and me, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according that it is written, he that glories, let him glory only in the Lord. For we have nothing to glory of within ourselves. As Paul said in Galatians 6:14, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And he said, I will glory in the cross of Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.